Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
This is a podcast from the South China Morning Post.
Hey everyone, welcome to Inside China Tech, where we will dive into what's happening in China's technology scene today. I'm Zhen Su, a tech reporter with the South China Morning Post, and today with me is my colleague Li Tao, who's come all the way from Shenzhen to record with us today.
Hello everyone.
Yes, so today Li Tao and I are going to talk about the big shopping festival that happened over the weekend, Alibaba Singles Day. So before we start, we do want to sort of put out a disclaimer that the South China Morning Post is owned by Alibaba. But, you know, obviously this is not an advertisement, we're just doing a podcast. Haha. So, as you know, Singles Day falls on November 11, which was just on Sunday. And Alibaba racked up some, like, insane number, like $30.8 billion in GMV. The lead, how do you know what GMV means?
GMV is gross merchandise volume. Mm-hmm. That's kind of used by those online platforms like Alibaba, Jingdong.com. You know, they try to tell people, you know, how much products they sell on the platform. So that's why they have GMV. We see GMV all the time, you know, through of the platform all the time, yeah.
Yeah, so GMV is sort of like the sort of total sum of transactions that are made on Alibaba's e-commerce platform on Singles Day itself.
Yeah.
So basically what that means is that people bought $30.8 billion worth of stuff across Alibaba's platforms, right, on Sunday. So Li Tao and I were both on the ground over the weekend in Shanghai.
Yeah.
And I think Li Tao managed to squeeze in some shopping between us, you know, writing stories and watching the ticker. So Li Tao, what did you get for a Singles Day this year?
Well, last year I was also in Shanghai to cover that. But I was alone, so I have to manage between reporting and buying stuff. But this year, you were there, so you help a lot.
More time
but
to
shop. But the problem is I didn't really shop as many as I did last year. I think I made like 100 deliveries last year.
Last year, 100?
Yeah, but this time like 50, I think. I already started receiving these goods, you know, before I went to Hong Kong today. I already received, I think, 2 packages, you know. Mostly the daily daily stuff like powders, you know, washing powders. You know.
Oh, so yeah. Like basically you placed the order on Saturday night.
Yeah, Sunday, yeah.
Yeah, and then it took like 2 days to get to you.
Well, I think my first package arrived at Monday night or Tuesday morning.
Yeah, that's super fast.
That's super fast. Yeah.
You know, in the past, I think in 2013 when I was living in Beijing, yeah, like when I would buy things on Singles Day, it comes like 6 or 7 days. Like it took a really long time. I think the logistics infrastructure has really improved.
Right,
since
because
then.
I also purchased for my parents, and they received more than me. I think they have already received like 3 or 4 packages so far. You know, that's super fast.
Yeah. So, what was the most expensive thing you bought this year?
Well, that's a how can I say that? It's a airline cash card.
Like a prepaid card?
A prepaid card. It's 5,000 yuan. Mm. But you get to pay with this card, you get 10% all the time. So that's why I bought it. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. But that was like virtual, was it? Like they didn't have to send you that card?
They don't, yeah. I just log on Feiju Fliggy.
Yeah.
.com.
What's, you know, Fliggy?
That's Alibaba's online travel platform.
Mm-hmm.
I just go there, log in, I can book all the tickets, and automatically be offered like 10% off the discount. Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, obviously we know, you know, from what you've just said, last year you bought over 100 things. And, you know, I think this is a sort of fairly big phenomenon across China where people buy, you know, huge amount of goods on that day itself. And why is that? Why do people buy so much on Singles Day?
Well, I don't know other people, but for me, I think a purchase on Singles Day really save a lot of money and save a lot of time, you know.
Mm.
You know, there are 2 biggest shopping events in China. One is the Singles Day. The other is June the 18th. that's a mid-year shopping event also, you know, led by Alibaba. Mm. So basically, we have to purchase a lot of daily necessities, like the washing powders I mentioned, other maybe healthcare pills, you know, stuff. You always have that. So I purchased them, you know, just during these two events to cover my whole consumption.
Like your whole year's supply.
My, you just whole buy... year's supply. I just bought at these two events. Because the price is really much lower than...
How much lower, like 50%?
I don't know, but it's like 20 or 30%. I think so. I'll give you one example. You know, I purchased the mineral water, Evian.
Yeah, Evian.
You know how much it costs, like 500 milliliters? I mean, the size, 500?
500 milliliters?
Yeah, yeah. For 24 bottles. Mm. It's like 80 yuan RMB. 80 for 24 bottles.
Okay.
But if you go to a supermarket, it's called like 10 or 15 in China for just one bottle.
Mm.
But this one, you bought 24, you pay for 80. And it's directly imported from the France.
Yeah.
So that, and they deliver to home directly. You don't have to even go to the supermarket. That's why, you know. I bought a lot of waters, several, I think more than 100. So this can cover like 2 months or one month, more than that, yeah.
So, Tao, does that mean that your house is basically full of bottled water and washing powder and all
You know, the problem, actually, I purchased some stuff 2 years ago. I still haven't used them up, you know, until now. So that's why basically one room, I have one guest room, it's not very big. All the closet, I put all the stuff inside. So there's something I purchased like 2 years ago, 2016, the shopping festival I purchased. I haven't used them until now.
So that means that people generally tend to stock up on things during, you know, whether it's like Singles Day or Liu Yao Ba, which is 18th of June. Is that very common?
I think that's common because that's difficult. You know, some merchandiser, they offer you really huge amount of stuff and you get a discount. You have to buy like maybe 10 huge bottles of washing powders. It's like you use them for 2 years. But if you split them, you don't get the discount. That's a problem.
Okay, this is basically like Costco in the US, right? Where people go to Costco and bulk buy, I don't know, toilet paper or like kitchen towels or washing detergent. And I think in China, it seems that people tend to do this across these 2 days, you know, which is June the 18th. I think that's a Jingdong holiday. Yeah. It's not Alibaba, right? It's
for both, I think.
But I mean, Jingdong founded that one.
Yeah, started.
Jingdong founded, so June 18th, and then Alibaba does it, you know, sort of November 11th. But both platforms have sort of, you know, cross.
And there is another mini one on December the 12th.
Yeah, I think Alibaba did that, but it's okay. I think we'll just stick to Singles Day. Okay.
Do you know do you know why we call it Singles Day?
Yeah, that is an interesting question. Maybe you should. Okay, I kind of know, but like, why don't you tell us?
You know, Singles Day fall on November the 11th. That's 11-11-11. So in Chinese, you know, we have one Chinese character phrase means if that's kind of stick, which means you're still alone. That's sad, you know. So that's the day you have 4-1-1-1-1. That's Singles Day, you know. That's extremely, you know, single.
It's 光棍节, right? 光棍节, in China. Yeah, so 光棍 basically means bare branches.
Bare branches.
So it's like, you know, it's like you don't have branches. You're just a stick. You have no branches. You don't have a family tree. You haven't branched out into your own family tree yet. So,
you know, actually Alibaba started this holiday, event like 10 years ago. This is just for those, you know, who kind of resist to the marriage, to the couple stuff. I don't know, but that's for their holidays. But for these days, everyone participating in that. But we still call that Singles Day.
So obviously, Singles Day has been going on for 10 years now. And I think Li Tao has participated in many different Singles Day festivals. So tell us how different, you know, Singles Day is today versus maybe like 5 or 6 years ago. How has the sort of activities or promotions changed? What is your biggest observation?
Well, I think one of the biggest observations, I would say that's a complaint, you know, from the consumers, is it's not as easy as before. You know, it's like years ago, you know, these merchandise, they just offer you discounts. It's really huge ones, like 30%, 40% off. That's super generous. But these days, it's not, you know. You have to get prepared like half a month before the holiday. You have to compete for all the coupons. You have to play games on mobile phones to get the coupons. You know, you have to do all these kind of stuff. That's why, you know, many people, you know, born after 1980s, you know, they have families, they think that's so troublesome, so that's why they quit. So that's why these days, you know, we know the number, more than almost half, 46% of the consumers participating in the event, they born after 1990s. So that's why the younger, they have time for all these games to compete all the coupons. But for these older people, maybe they think it's troublesome. That's why they give up. But for me, you know, I still, afterwards.
Wait, are you born in the 1990s or the 1980s?
I always assume that I was born 1990s, but I'm not. Yeah. But actually, I still compete for the coupons. You know, I got like more than 1,000, you know, all these coupons that can be used during the holiday, so I'm very well prepared, you know. So I'll give you one simple example. You know, if you want to maximize the discounts during the holiday, you have to get coupons from Alibaba, you have to get coupons from the merchandisers, and you have to calculate the amount of money, because all these coupons have some limitations. You have to use them, like you purchase more than 500 yuan or 400 yuan, you can use them. So you have to calculate. If not, if for example, you buy something like 100, you don't have the coupons, the price is just as same as before. So you don't really get real discount on that. Yeah.
So I have a lot of friends who actually told me this year that they didn't end up buying that much on Singles Day because it was too much effort, basically, to, you know, to have to sort of work out like what are the discounts, and then eventually, because there is so much choice, that they just end up not buying anything. So I found that quite amusing. I mean, personally, I didn't buy anything this year because I'm the kind of person who can never make up my mind. Like, you know, when you're faced with this, it's like very compelling. Everybody around you is buying, especially, you know, if you're on site and, you know, you're in a room full of reporters, everybody's shopping. You see the numbers on the screen. It's very stressful. You know, you feel like you're missing out. But this year, I'm quite proud to say I didn't spend a single cent, actually.
But to be honest, I'm very loyal to this festival. Even that, you know, I feel tired sometimes. You know, I purchase at different, like, 30 or 40 shops. Mm. I have to go to each individual shop to look their clauses and how you can how these coupons can be applied to the shop. You know, how can you get coupons? That's really, really tiring. So I have to admit, that's one of the reasons I didn't purchase as much as I did last year. Yeah.
So, you know, I was looking, and I think one of the things about Singles Day that gets criticized very often is the sort of packaging that is used, you know, like these billions. Like this year, I think they reached over a billion parcels delivered. And, you know, there's all of these sort of packaging waste, like cardboard boxes and like tape. And yeah, Li Tao, I don't know, what do you think about that kind of environmental waste?
Well, you know, these days, I think they're making efforts. You know, many delivery guys, they try to recycle these packages, you know, as long as you want them to, so they can be reused. So that's one effort, I believe, from all these e-commerce platforms they're trying to make. But at the end of the day, you still have to make purchase, make deliveries. You cannot, you know, live without this paperboard. So, yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. So, you know, obviously, this was the 10th year of Singles Day, the 10th edition, sorry. And like this year especially was very closely watched, I think, by a lot of people in the consumer sector, in the retail sector, because of the US-China trade war. And, you know, people were worried that consumer sentiment would be weaker this year because, you know, people might be worried about economic uncertainty or and they might want to, you know, sort of tighten the purse strings. But it seems like this year it didn't really happen. Like, you know, I mean, they hit the record, I think, in 16 hours. Like, they had eight hours to go when they broke the previous year's record. And one of the criticisms, I think, that has been increasingly obvious for a Singles Day is that people are saying that actually none of these numbers actually mean anything because the GMV of every year's Singles Day doesn't actually correlate with Alibaba's sort of earnings or profit. Yeah. So, you know, I don't know, just putting it out there that,
but you know,
we should take that number with a pinch of salt. I mean it's obviously great because it shows that,
right,
you know, like consumers in China, like in the rural areas, are their consumption upgrade, you know, they're becoming richer, they're becoming more affluent. But yeah, we should also sort of see it
I think one of the reasons the number, they set up a new record this year is Lazada, you know, which I think that's one of the first time is fully participate in the November 11th, I mean, the shopping spree. You know, the shopping power in the Southeast Asia, that's also strong, you know, especially maybe that's a newcomer coming to the group. You know, that's why they break out. They set a new record in like 16 hours for the day. Second, you know, I was traveling back to Shenzhen yesterday. I read like three newspapers, I mean, Chinese newspapers on the plane. All the headlines, they talk like, oh, the Singles' Day shopping proves that the consumption in China is still strong. So that's why, you know, I think at least the government, they believe, you know, this kind of Singles' Day prove that actually the economy in China is still vibrant.
Yeah, but I mean, like you said, they actually included Lazada. So for those of you who don't know, Lazada is the Singapore-based sort of e-commerce platform that Alibaba invested $4 billion into, and basically they control Lazada now. It's like one of their subsidiaries. So Lazada is across many different markets in Southeast Asia. So it includes Singapore, Malaysia, you know, like Philippines and Indonesia. And so this year, Lazada participated in the Singles' Day sales. There were a lot of promotions, and they calculated these transactions on Lazada into the overall gross merchandise volume. So, so it's not exactly just only Chinese consumption. We don't actually know. I don't think they actually broke out the numbers for Lazada. I have to check, actually. I don't think.
They haven't.
I don't think they did.
That,
yeah. But yeah, so, you know, we the jury's still kind of out, I guess. If they didn't have Lazada, would the numbers have been?
I think we talked then before the Singles' Day whether this time Alibaba is able to break the record again. Because under current economic sentiment, we thought, you know, people wouldn't be buying as much as they do, especially me. You know, I was personally, I think I'm not going to buy as much as I do. So we were a little bit more worried whether they are going to breach the ban. But we didn't expect it so fast, like 16 hours, two-thirds of the time, you know, they reach a new high. This time, 200 billion yuan for like 24 hours, more than that. That's a crazy number.
Yeah. I mean, I think one question that I think we should also ask is that how much will Alibaba be able to keep up with this sort of pace of growth? Because every year, the growth sort of gets smaller, right? This year, it was 27%, and that number was lower than in previous years. Basically, off the previous years, is the slowest growth so far. So, I mean, I guess, you know, as your base gets larger, as more people are shopping, you know, that sort of growth will not be as astronomical anymore. And so the question is, what's going to happen one day? Will, you know, growth slow so much? Do you think Alibaba might pull the GMV numbers, or they might stop showing GMV numbers? You know how like Apple basically said they're not going to reveal the sales of iPhones anymore because, you know, they're worried that maybe growth will slow, basically. I think Bloomberg's Tim Kalpen talked about this.
But to me, I believe overseas market will be more important, crucial for Alibaba in the future. We cannot pin on Chinese consumers, you know. So we know that Alibaba is trying to serve like 2 billion consumers globally by 2036. So that's ambitious plan, but I believe that's also will be support Alibaba's, you know, GMV growth in the future Singles' Day shopping. So I believe that's not a problem in the near term.
Yeah, so I mean, basically, you know, it's not possible for us to pin all our hopes in China, be like, oh, the GMV is going to grow astronomically, and eventually they are going to look at Southeast Asia for growth. Like, I think a lot of people are now looking, you know, now China has sort of matured as a market, so a lot of investors, a lot of people are sort of looking towards Southeast Asia as the next engine of growth. So it's likely that eventually they will do that. But with that, I also hope that one day they will hold their Singles' Day gala outside of China. I think Daniel Zhang has said this before. He said that, oh, maybe one day we will have it outside of China. Hopefully we'll be in some exotic location like Thailand or something. That would be awesome. Okay, now we're going to move into short video, because short video is one of those Chinese phenomenons that started in China, you know, like these 15-second videos where people can basically film themselves singing or like lip syncing or have, you know, include background music or whatever. And then for some reason, it exploded in popularity. So in China, I think the biggest app is Douyin, which is TikTok. The international name is TikTok. And at some point of time, TikTok became the most downloaded iPhone app. And I mean, I think even now, like millions and millions of people use TikTok in China. And even in the States, I think it's getting very popular. So Li Tao also happens to be a very loyal TikTok user, or Douyin. Yeah, in China it's called Douyin. He watches, I think. I don't know, how long do you spend on Douyin every day?
You know, the new iPhone, they actually monitor how much time you spend on different app. I checked that. You know, I averagely spend like 1 hour on...
Every day?
Every day. That's crazy. So I'm trying to delete the app from my... I spend too much time on that. You just cannot stop it, you know. Douyin is like, you know... Because all these ordinary people don't know each other. They shoot the short video. Most of them really funny and some even stupid. But millions of people, they like that, you know. And we just cannot stop, you know, watching that. Even if it kind of repeat from each other, but we enjoy that. I think that's one of the reasons is all these ordinary people, they have the platform to show off themselves, you know. That's something we really enjoy. You know, for people like me, you know, I don't have the guts to... do it myself, but I like to watch people.
If you're spending an hour on TikTok and that's 15 second videos, it's 15 seconds maximum, right? Is it 15 seconds?
30 seconds for different users.
Okay,
know.
Let's assume, okay, let's say if it's 15 seconds.
Yeah.
So that's 1 minute, four videos in 1 minute and like 240 videos. Yeah. So you watch like 240 videos.
You know, the problem is you don't really feel that, you know, just the past 1 hour.
Yeah, I mean...
TikTok, Douyin is super clever. They have the AI, you know, back the technology. They know which kind of video you watch a lot. So they continue to push all these videos to you.
So what kind of videos are you... Like, what's the funniest video you've watched on
you
TikTok?
You know, you mentioned about funniest. So that's why I cannot tell. Mm. You know, people shoot all these funniest video on that. I love that kind of stuff. You know, some people, they just sing... on short video, they sing like 30 seconds. Probably they sing very well, but if you watch this kind of video all the time, TikTok push you, give you all these kind of singing stuff. And my friends, they love to raise pets, you know, dogs, cats. So they got all these videos, like someone raised very cute cats, cute dog, you know, they got all these videos all the time. I think what I receive most is the funny stuff, you know,
people like, doing like stupid people things, doing gags or like pranks and stuff.
Exactly.
So is there a video in particular that really left an impression on you?
That's just so many. I cannot tell immediately. I think I liked more than 1,000 videos so far.
Okay. So what is the appeal of short video actually? Like, I mean, it's, you know, because before, okay, let's say like in the West, I think, short video came up in the form of like Snapchat or like Instagram. And then I think before, so basically TikTok, which is Douyin, they basically bought Musical.ly. But before they bought Musical.ly, Musical.ly was quite big in the US where people would live stream themselves and then people would also watch that. So I think there was an evolution of video. So first it was like, you know, really short video of you taking pictures or taking videos of your life, Periscope or like Snapchat. And then it moved to like live streaming. And now it seems the big thing is short video. So what is it about short video that makes it different from, you know, all the other previous like live streaming and stuff?
You know, there's really, really one advantage of short video is short. You know, we always presume that we're busy. That's why, you know, these days, if I'm at home, I don't really watch movie quite a lot because like more than an hour, sometimes 2 hours, that's too long. But short video, you can stop anytime you want. It's like 30 seconds. So sometimes I spend 1 hour on that. Maybe the other day I spent like five minutes. So I think that's, I don't know, for many people these days, we love short stuff, you know, you can stop whenever you want. You don't feel like, oh, I have to manage the whole 1 hour and 30 minutes for this movie. I don't do that quite a lot these days at home.
Yeah. So it's like bite-sized entertainment, basically.
I think
where
so.
Where you can fit it. Like, oh, if you're just waiting for the train, you can watch like three videos.
Exactly.
I see. So what's interesting is that the West has started to copy this short video model. So TikTok, obviously, I mean, okay, so Douyin and TikTok, they're owned by this company called ByteDance that also does 今日头条, which in English means today's headlines. So that's a different thing we'll go into, you know, maybe another time. But basically, it's this big tech company. They own Douyin and TikTok. TikTok's their international version. Both have done it phenomenally well. And now I think Facebook has also stepped into this short video sort of landscape with what they call, it's called Lasso, I think. Which is basically, you know, the same concept as TikTok. you can do whatever, you can dance, you can sing, you can lip sync. What I'm interested in is, I think a lot of people are trying to be celebrities on these short video platforms. I think in China, it's very there are really popular accounts where people follow because, you know, they post a certain type, whether they sing a lot or they do pranks. How do these people make money? Like, are you able as a user to gift them with like tokens?
On TikTok, you don't. But I can tell, you know, some celebrities, if you call them that, after maybe they have like millions of followers, they started to post on their front page, their WeChat account. You can add them and you can talk about advertisement or other stuff. I don't know.
So do they advertise in the short video? Like it's like native advertising?
They do. They do it a lot. Mm. So sometimes you see like 20 minutes of very funny stuff and suddenly there is a product just raised from the, you know, the video. That's something she really wants to present, represents here, you know.
So she doesn't, so they don't sort of incorporate the item into their video. It's like very clearly an advertisement.
Oh, you just, you asked me whether I have, I remember something really funny. Mm. You know, I watched one video, the girl, she's going abroad, you know, she met all the problem because she doesn't really speak English very well. She met all these problems, you know, at the U.S. customs, you know, they don't understand what you're talking, and she makes mistakes in spelling words, you know, in speaking, so that's awkward.
Wait, eventually, 1 second. First, you said she made mistakes while talking to the U.S. customs officer, so she got the U.S. customs officer on video?
Yeah. No, that's fake one, I think.
Oh, okay,
yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, at the end, she brought out some stuff, I think the translator stuff, you know, it helps her to simultaneously translate her voice into English, so she doesn't have to be embarrassed anymore in the foreign countries. Mm. So that's kind of better advertisement you see in the short video. But sometimes they just do some very hard stuff, you know, they just bring the product eventually, say, oh, this is what I'm using, but probably this guy or girl, they really good looking, so they are doing a skincare advertisement that's super low budget. But that's the followers, I believe most of them will see that, yeah.
Okay. So it really depends. It's down to the creator to decide whether they want to like incorporate it into the kind of videos they're doing or sort of like, this is the shampoo that I'm using.
But they have a very wise strategy because they're like, I still give you like 5 good videos you will like, and I just give you maybe 2 advertisement inside these videos. It's not like because you follow him, but you see all the advertisement all the time, you may unfollow him, but he still produced good stuff. Sometime in between, he offers some advertisements.
So apart from like Douyin, what other sort of short video apps are popular in China?
I think there are some like Kuaishou, or I don't know, there are some 3 or 4.
But is Douyin the biggest by far?
I think so. Kuaishou is mostly used by the northern part of Chinese people. But Douyin is like universal, yeah, not just in China.
Yeah, I downloaded Douyin on my phone just to check out what the fuss is about. And I can actually totally see the appeal.
I'm not going to name that, but one of our colleagues in the tech team, she has installed and deleted this app for like more than 5 times. Because once she spent too much time on that, she deleted it from the mobile phone. And for several days later, she missed that. She reinstalled that, you know.
Sounds like withdrawal symptoms from like short video. Honestly, I think it would be interesting. We should go and check out how addicted people are to these videos. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure you said you only spend an hour each day. I'm sure there are people who spend hours and hours on these, you know, sort of like short videos. But basically, I mean, it's quite interesting, I guess, to see how content has sort of taken off. So, you know, I mean, before the era of smartphones, like, how did we entertain ourselves? Like, we played Snake or, like, we texted people on our Nokia phones. And then, you know, smartphones came about and then it was, like, Facebook and news feeds. And then it moved on into Instagram and photos, sort of. I think in China, was there a similar evolution? Like, obviously in the West, it's like social media, like news feeds, and then photos, and then videos, and then now short video. Mm. Like, what was the evolution in China?
I think probably the same. I think so. But yeah.
I think the other reason
I want to add is I spend like an hour every day, but I didn't really feel that. Probably because, you know, when I use it, you know, on the bus, on metro, you know, I didn't spend 1 hour on Douyin. at one time, maybe 10 times, each time just like 6 or 5 minutes. So I don't really feel I spend quite a lot of time on that. Yeah.
How is your phone plan handling all of this video watching? Like, genuine question. Okay, because in Hong Kong, I have a 6 gigabyte plan because for whatever reason, I haven't upgraded it. I should. 6 gigabytes is not enough for me. And I don't even watch short video. Like, okay, what guzzles my data is like Instagram stories. I watch a lot of Instagram stories. Mm-hmm. But for you, if you're watching like lots of videos every day, do you have an unlimited data plan?
Of course, we have unlimited data plan.
How much are you paying a month in China for this?
Less than to move to China. 150 or 200.
Unlimited?
Unlimited.
I need to change phone provider.
But they will restrain some speed, you know, after you spend like 20 gigabytes, but I never reached that.
So have you tracked your sort of how much data you've used on TikTok by itself?
Oh, yeah, it's quite a lot. It really consumes quite a lot of traffic. I think one of the most on my mobile phone. But these days in China, you have all these unlimited data plans. Even if they try to stop offering that because they think that's not fair to other publics. But these days, you still can pay like 150, 200 yuan. You get unlimited 4G plans. That's super good.
I need to look for a new provider, basically. Anyway, I think we have come to an end of today's Inside China Tech podcast. Please join us next week for, you know, completely new content. We'll talk about different topic. And if you want to follow me on Twitter, my handle is at Zensoo, Z-E-N-S-O-O. And for Li Tao, it's...
I forgot my handle. Seriously,
I think it's Li Tao SCMP. I think it's at Li Tao SCMP. Okay, it's fine, you know, because, you know, obviously Twitter is blocked in China. But his handle is Li Tao SCMP. And if you want to follow our tech stories on SCMP, and you definitely should because we produce great content, it's scmp.com/tech. See you next week. Bye.
Bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.